You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
I'm going to Matthew 22 as my text. Matthew 22, 1 through 14. My name is Mark. I'm part of the team too. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son." That shows you that the kingdom of heaven is an Indian kingdom, because... No, it doesn't. That's just not, that's got nothing to do with it. "And sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, for there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" What's interesting about this is this: Jesus is teaching us what the kingdom is like. Our theme this year is the kingdom. And he's talking about this story where the people in the room had conquered the excuses. The first lot of people said, "I'm busy, I've got a farm, I've got a family, I've got reasons, I don't come to church, I don't come to God." People have all sorts of excuses. But these people were in the room. Everybody today is in the room. You've conquered the excuse as to why to not come to church, and you're in the room, online or in the room. And yet, "many are called, but few are chosen" is a direct statement that you can be in the room and not ready for the room. You can be at the right address, but not dressed for the address. And this weighted statement, "many are called and few are chosen," is an indication of how important God treats being dressed the right way. And I do not mean your physical clothing. I don't mean just the style of fashion you have or what you choose to wear. But dress is often used, your attire is often used as a metaphor in the Bible. There's many times in Scripture, the attire you wear is a prophetic or direct link to often spiritual readiness. If you're ready, it speaks of spiritual readiness, spiritual realities, and spiritual authority. So really, whenever you hear talk of garments or clothes or robes or armor of God or anything like that, it's not just speaking about your external dressing, it's speaking about your readiness. Romans 13 is probably, in the New Living Translation, I like it. It just says it really blunt. It says, "The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe..." So using clothing analogy, "clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires." So there are many references, but clearly the radical nature of this parable we read is God's way of saying, this matters. This is not a preference issue. This is not just a I like it, I don't like it, I feel like it, I don't feel like it issue. This actually matters, how we dress. And I want to speak to the deeper application of what dressing applies for, but using the dressing analogy. Number one, we have to be dressed for our alignment. And what I mean by this, dress for your alignment, this is the better way to think of this is dress because of who you are, your identity. But the reason I don't like the word identity, I don't dislike the word, I don't want to use it in this context, is we live in a world today where identity is a choice. It's become so warped, we think we choose our own identity like we choose our own adventure in a book, or we choose our own holiday destination, I choose my identity. But your identity is not a choice. You think you get an amen in the church for this, but your identity is a function of the purpose of your creator for your life. He makes you male or female. You know, stuff that was common sense many years ago today is not that common, not that sense, even in the Christian world. So the reason I like the word alignment is when you come into alignment with who your God is, that determines who your identity is. And you should be dressed for the alignment that you carry. And you know, there are times where if you don't know who you are in Christ, you'll be dressed a completely different way to the son and daughter that you truly are. And when you're dressed not like a son, not like a daughter, you actually begin to behave like the way you're dressed. And that's why the king walked into the wedding banquet and said, you're not dressed for who you're supposed to be. If you're going to make it into the room, there's a certain way to dress. And again, I'm not talking about your physical clothes. I'm talking about the attire of someone who understands they are aligned to their identity of being a child of the living God. You know, we heard, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, put on the presence. But let's get a bit more specific. There's a few references in Scripture. I picked three that I like. They're all good, but here's three. Here's the first piece of attire that God gives to you. Number one, the robe of righteousness. Isaiah 61, it says, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Everyone say the robe of righteousness. Whether you realize it or not, the person next to you did not wake up looking like they did. No matter how much they lied to you, they did not. They had some intentionality. They had a shower, which certainly helped. Then beyond that, they did varying levels of work depending on how much painting the barn needs, so they painted accordingly. And basically, they turned up today looking wonderful and fresh. But there's intentionality. The robe of righteousness that God gives you is something that won't just fall on you. You have to put it on. You have to get up every morning and put it on. God has given you access to a wardrobe. So he says, look for the robe of righteousness, not the robe of shame, not the robe of condemnation, not the robe of... Look for the robe of righteousness and pick out the robe of righteousness. And every morning you get up, you put it on and you wear it unashamed that God has made you his son, his daughter. And what that does, what the robe of righteousness does, is it gives you a confidence to walk knowing your righteousness is not from yourself. It never has been, never will be. You might remember that in the story of the prodigal, when the prodigal comes home, the father says, quick, bring the robe and the ring, two things he brings. The robe is the robe of righteousness, which is, in other words, the father is saying, son, you don't deserve this, but when I put my robe on you, you carry a authority, a readiness, and a weight that you didn't earn yourself. But it doesn't just fall on you. You have to wear it. So every morning when you get up, say, God, I put on the robe of righteousness. Not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. Lord, for by grace I've been saved through faith, and that not of myself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the robe of righteousness, which simply means, Lord, it's I don't live of the shame of yesterday. I don't live of the pain of the past. I am where I am. I am who I am, Lord, because of you and you alone. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I put this on and I unashamedly walk dressed because of the alignment. I can't put this on if I'm not a son of God. I can't put this on if I'm not a daughter of God. I can't put this on if I don't know what it's like to be truly forgiven. I can't put this on if I'm still carrying my own shame and condemnation. I can't put this on if I can't forgive myself and I think my own issues are stronger than the blood of Jesus. I can't put this on if I'm wearing the weight of condemnation. I'm putting this on as a choice to throw off my own self-righteousness, put on his robe of righteousness, and all of a sudden, I'm dressed for alignment. And you know, when you do that, your whole countenance is different. It doesn't mean you don't have hard days. It doesn't mean you don't have challenges, but you look different. You sound different. Some of you are like, finally, I can take the sermon seriously. He looks like a pastor. But he doesn't just give you the robe of righteousness. He gives you shoes of peace. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, we're told about the armor of God, and we're told to put on the shoes that are shod with the gospel of peace. I want to tell you, don't leave home without it. Some of you need to get up every morning and make a conscious decision, I'm going to wear shoes of peace, meaning I'm going to walk in peace. I'm not going to walk in conflict. I'm not going to look for fights. I'm going to just, in every situation, carry peace. You know, if you're a child of God, that's what you should wear. You should put that on every morning. It doesn't mean you don't have tension. It doesn't mean you don't have arguments. It doesn't mean you don't have things to check. But you're not going to allow yourself to go without peace. You know, Jesus even said, you go into a place in this hostile reception, take your peace back. Leave your peace there, take your peace back. Peace is something. He is the Prince of Peace. So when you cannot put on the Lord Jesus Christ and not put on the peace that he brings, make a decision to walk in peace. Make a decision every day to say, I will not wake up antagonistic. I will not move. You know, you might wake up in a bad mood. You might wake up struggling. You might wake up feeling down. You might wake up feeling tense. But to live the rest of the day that way is totally optional. To live the rest of that day down, beaten, stressed is completely, to some degree, self-inflicted. Because he gave you access to a robe and he gave you access to shoes. And he said, if you would put on the robe, if you'd put on the shoes, I don't know, I'm waiting for them to invent shoes that just slip onto your feet without you having to do anything. But even peace, you have to fight for your peace. You have to put it on. Often in the shoe, there's a tongue. There's a key to your peace. Sometimes, if you're an athlete like me, you can stand up. But if you, most people have to sit down to put on their shoes. I don't know why people are laughing, but you sit down and you actually have to sit down. Sometimes you need to just sit for a second and go, God, I need your peace. I need your peace for all that people I'm dealing with. Lord, I'm about to go visit my in-laws. I need your peace. Lord, I'm about to go meet with so-and-so. I need your peace. Lord, I'm going to deal with this. I need your peace. Don't leave home without it. Everyone say, shoes of peace. Look at your neighbor's shoes. Just give you something to do. Here's the third one. Being dressed. You know this one. God has also given you a thing called the garment of salvation. And specifically the garment of praise. This is what it says in Isaiah 60. It says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. I'm looking for a garment of praise here, and I think this looks like a good garment of praise. This looks like a garment of praise. I mean, you can't wear this and not want to praise. So, I don't know if this is a garment of praise for you, but it feels like a garment of praise for me. You know, a garment of praise, before you get up and go to work, before you get up and do anything, put on the garment of praise. The Bible says, for the spirit of heaviness, meaning you have to throw something off before you put this on. You actually cannot, you know, I have two sons, so they do this quite often. They just get dressed for the new place, put on new clothes, but they haven't had a shower. It's bad when you put on new things and you haven't had a shower. Or they're sweaty and they just spray deodorant and they think it'll fix everything. You can't do that. You have to take off some things. It's called a shower. You have to clean yourself before you put on new robes. And I want to tell you, there's this thing called the spirit of heaviness. Spirit of heaviness is not for fat people. Spirit of heaviness is for people who are underweight. You can be thin and under the spirit of heaviness. You can be extra large and full of joy. Because the spirit of heaviness is not got anything to do with how you look. It's got everything to do with the sense of joy that God has placed inside of you. And every now and then the spirit of heaviness will get on you. You got to throw it off and you got to put on the garment of praise. You can't put on the garment of praise and wear the spirit of heaviness. In fact, that's what often sometimes our praise services look like. People have come on and the praise and worship leader is trying to get you to praise and jump and dance and do things. And you're like, okay, I'll try and put on this garment of praise, but I'm also wearing the spirit of heaviness. You can't do both. You can't do both. You have to make a choice. I'm going to throw off the spirit of heaviness and I'm going to put on the garment of praise. Then, see, the garment of praise is actually a outlook. It's not only just praising God for who he is. It's an outlook of gratitude. It's an outlook of thankfulness. Put on the robe of righteousness. I know who I am in Christ. Put on the shoes of peace. I'm going to be a person who carries the presence of God into every interaction I have. And put on the garment of praise, which is my way of saying, God, today I want to be grateful for you because of who you are, not because of who you're not, because of what you've done, not because of what you haven't done, because of who you've given me, not because of who you haven't given me. And you start going after the garment of praise as a perspective. Put on the garment of praise. Your whole day will look different. Christians who walk around miserable, condemned, conflicted, and heavy are just ones who didn't get dressed for alignment. The garment of praise is amazing. And you know, the Bible says that, you know, every time we get the chance in the service to praise God. Look, I'm with you. You get to the age where you're like, I can't really dance and sing and shout like these young people could. But do you know, I want to tell you something. You can still have the garment of praise and not be able to dance like them or do it. Because the garment of praise is a posture of unashamed declaration of how great God is and how amazing he is. And that just requires you to open up your mouth, shout unto God with a voice of triumph, clap your hands, all you people, actually let faith arise in your heart. You know, we sang a praise song this morning and we sing it quite a bit. It's called Amen. In fact, the long title is Amen, 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 Amen. That's the name of the song. In fact, I know some of these praise songs are complicated, so I also struggle with them. I can't sing half of them. But this one, anybody can sing. Because the word is Amen. Everyone say Amen? In fact, if you sing this song well, it will actually get you ready for the rest of the whole service. In fact, at some point, you know, Sam was singing it, and he sings all the hard lines. He sings the part. It's, he has saved us. He has redeemed us. What? I don't even know the words. He has what? Come up here. Get a mic. So, okay. I'll show you how easy this is. Online, you can do this at home. So, this is how easy the song goes. We don't even need the band for this. Okay. Amen. 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 Amen.
He will deliver us out of them all.
Amen, 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 amen. It's good. How easy is that? And yet some people so wear the spirit of heaviness, they can't even sing amen. So he's Sam's, hey, where are you going?
Come on.
So then he sings a song.
He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Through every trial.
Okay, yeah, so don't go. So I'm illustrating what the spirit of heaviness looks like. They made the song so simple. All you have to say is amen. Still can't. You don't have to sing all the complicated words. Just amen. It's not hard. Okay, now try. Now we're all going to sing amen. Ready? Oh, John's back. All right.
All right. One, two, three. He has saved us.
Amen.
He has redeemed.
Amen.
He will hear.
Amen.
When we call.
Amen.
And when affliction.
Amen.
All the righteous.
Amen.
He will deliver us out of them.
Amen, 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 amen. Okay, you don't have to do all this part of so, but this is. It is so.
Amen, 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 amen.
Okay, so remember that old song, put on the garment of praise for the spirit. Okay, not okay, we don't need to sing that song. Everybody has a garment of praise. But if you leave home without your garment of praise, you're setting yourself up to be attacked. Because praise is not a song. Praise is a weapon. Praise is the thing that actually destroys, it clears the atmosphere in front of you. You got a crazy day? Put on your amen. You got a difficult situation? Put on your amen. Make a decision that I'm going to wear the garment of praise. I'm going to throw off the spirit of heaviness. And I'm going to say amen. And the church said? And the church shouted? Online they said? Amen. Come on, give God some praise. Okay, you may be seated now. For a few moments, you'll be back. I've got a feeling we'll be back. All right, so number one, dress for alignment. Everyone say alignment. Number two, dress for assignment. You got to get dressed not just for who you are, but where you're going. God has given you areas, professions. You know, the day you become a corporate person, you have to dress a certain way. For every assignment, there's often a dress. Are you dressed for the assignment God has given you? What's my assignment? To be a follower of Christ. What's my assignment? More specifically, you know, if you want to be, if you want to be an athlete, you have to live a certain way. If you want to be a musician, you have to live a certain way. If you want to be a corporate person, you have to think a certain way. You know, Esther is one of my favorite people for this. Esther chapter 2. It talks about how she became queen, and it says, now the young woman pleased him, the king, and she obtained his favor, so he readily gave beauty preparations to her besides allowance, and 7 choice maidservants were provided for her. You know, the story of Esther is amazing. She is a beautiful girl who becomes queen, but before she can become queen, what's her assignment? To become queen. But before she becomes queen, she has to get herself ready. She has to get dressed, literally, for her assignment. Her assignment, if you read scholars, involved 1 year of preparation. Wow. It's like a 1 year spa. Wow. Not 90 minutes, 2 hours. Not even all day. 1 year. Who would like a 1 year spa? But she had to go and risk her life down the track because her assignment to be queen was a life or death situation. The amount of preparation required for her assignment was massive. The degree of preparation is often proportionate to the degree of the assignment. And so there's something about your preparation. If you wanted to be a doctor or a dentist or a lawyer, or there was a preparation for your assignment. You know, growing up, I think the biggest challenge for me when it came to dressing for alignment was the robe of righteousness, because as an Asian, you sort of always feel you don't deserve it. So I struggled. Even though I knew Jesus forgave me, I knew Jesus loves me, because you're raised in a atmosphere, in a culture where punishment and being told off is just part of the culture. You struggle to receive that. When it came to the assignment, see, your alignment doesn't change regardless of your assignment. You're a child of God. Hopefully today that gets sorted out. But once your alignment is sorted, your assignment, wouldn't matter what your assignment is. My assignments have changed over time. I had an assignment as a uni student, an assignment as a lawyer, an assignment as a pastor. Assignment as Kingdom City has grown has changed for me. And if I don't get dressed for the assignment, one of the biggest areas I have struggled with getting dressed for my assignment is the issue of mindset. I didn't set out to do this. We started a small church in KL, that was it. Now what it's become is a little bit out of control. And the mindset... It's true. The mindset to be that, if this is my assignment, is a totally different mindset to being a pastor when we first started the church. Then nobody likes you, whatever. But my whole mindset had to shift. But you have to, the further you go, the more you have to die to what people think. The more you have to not care about what others, you know. The mindset is vital when it comes to your assignment. Moses sent out 12 spies. The Bible says leaders. They all had leadership in their life to check out the assignment. Let's go take the promised land. 10 were not dressed for the assignment and so didn't make it. Only 2 were dressed for the assignment and their language gave them away, both sides. So when you start saying, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, that's a sure sign you're not dressed for your assignment. But I want to tell you, God has called you to do great things, so just go for it. Get dressed for alignment. Get dressed for assignment. And you know, if you get dressed for your assignment without ever being dressed for your alignment, it'll be very hard. If you know who you are in Christ, whatever assignment he's given you will come a lot more naturally. But there are a lot of people who want to get their assignment right, but don't have their alignment right. But your assignment comes out of your alignment. But number three, you have to get dressed for your appointment. This guy had an appointment at a wedding. Esther had an appointment with the king. You know, your assignment and your appointment are two different things. Your assignment is what you're called to do. Your appointment is a specific moment in time. There's a specific moment in time that you have to be ready for. Let me give you an example. If you're an athlete and that's your assignment, your appointment is your race. Your assignment is a musician. Your appointment is the concert. That's a moment in time. Your assignment is a lawyer. The appointment is a court case. If your assignment is to be a surgeon, there's a lot of training involved, but your appointment is the actual surgery. If your assignment is to be the worship leader, that's who you are, but your appointment is the actual service. If your assignment is to be the intercessor, your appointment might be to lead the prayer meeting. If your assignment is the preacher, your appointment is the sermon. If your assignment is to be a connect leader, the appointment is the actual connect group. Most of us get ourselves up for the connect group without ever being prepared to be a connect leader. Most of us want to get up for the appointment because that's where we're seen. But if you're not dressed for your assignment, it'll be an exhausting life continually trying to get yourselves up for the appointment. That is actually a challenge that we all have to face. You know, Esther 5, I love the story. This is now when she's about to meet the king. It says, now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes. Such a simple thing. She just put on her robe and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house facing the entrance of the house. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight. She found favor because she got dressed for her appointment. What did she do for appointment? Just put on a robe. Why was it so easy to get dressed for appointment? It's because she spent 1 year getting dressed for her assignment. I feel like there are appointments God gives us. I feel like LA 23 will be an appointment. I feel like when we all gather, you know, right now as it stands around the world, there's over 2,000 people flying in for an appointment. They're flying in for an appointment. They're spending airfares that us KL people don't have to spend. They're booking hotels that we don't have to book because they know how crucial this appointment is. And you know, there's something about an appointment with God. Every time you come to church, you come for an appointment. Every time you go to Connect Group, you're going to an appointment. Every time you say, Lord, I want to open your word and I want to meet you, you're setting yourself up for an appointment. The appointment that you get ready for can trigger so many things. You know, if you're here going, I don't know my assignment, I don't know where I fit, I don't know what I have to do, I don't know what God's called me to do, just have an appointment with God. Your assignments will follow. I feel like in LA 23, assignments are going to get clarified and reset and redistributed. That's what happens when you have an appointment with God. When you meet with God, stuff just begins to trigger. Many are called, but not everyone's dressed for it. You know, I'll tell you, if you're coming to LA 23, and yes, this is the last day, it's true. People are like, I don't believe it. They're always opening up more. No, there isn't. We are jammed. There will be, on that day, weeping and gnashing of teeth as people try to get in. And they can't. Oh, Mike Maiden! Mike Maiden is here! Oh, yeah. Yes, well, you've known for about 5 months. He's here. More importantly, God is here. Yes. All the speakers are here. All the people are here. All the amazing. But I want to tell you, get ready. When you don't, no point just being in the wedding if you're not dressed for it. I'll tell you how to come dressed for LA, those of you who are coming to LA. It's not the room for spectators. It's not the room for the curious ones to go, huh? It's the room for people to actually have an encounter with God. It's the room for people to have an appointment with God. You know, but don't just worry about LA. It's like that's still weeks away. How did you come to church today? You know, in a few moments, we're going to have an appointment. You have an appointment with the altar. You have an appointment with your own heart. You have an appointment with God. You have an appointment when, in a moment, Pastor Paul gets up and says, hey, where do you stand with God? You have an appointment. Are you dressed for that? Are you wearing humility? Are you wearing honesty? Are you wearing openness? See, the appointment today is really about making sure your alignment is sorted out. You've got to be dressed for who you are. You've got to be dressed for where you're called to. And you've got to be dressed for who you're meeting. You know, imagine you're a constantly negative person about your family, and then you have to have a family gathering, you hype yourself up for disappointment. Oh, okay, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be so well behaved. Do you know what a strain it is on your internal being to be well behaved for 3 days at the family holiday? Because for the other 362 days a year, your assignment is in total conflict with your appointment. There's something about saying, today, God, reset my heart so my assignment is true. My assignment is pure. And then the appointments that are going to come your way are not going to feel hard. They're not going to feel stressful. They're not going to feel difficult. They're not going to feel challenging. They're just a simple case of Esther putting on your robe. You're called to do this. You say, hey, can you come and preach? I've been prepared for this, in season and out of season. Can you do that? No, I need to. Because most people are not dressed for their assignment. They falter at the appointment. And even if you can fake it, it's exhausting. Have you ever seen the thing called a horizontal bungee? Have you ever heard of the horizontal bungee? It's the opposite of the vertical bungee. Those of you who are scared of heights like me, you don't want to jump off a building, good job. But so they've created another thing for entertainment called the horizontal bungee, where you start at a point, you're connected by a rope to a thing, and instead of vertical bungee, it's horizontal, so it's this way. And then you're supposed to run with all your might and fight the tension in the rope, and you can go so far. The further you get, the harder it is. And then you want to stay here. It takes a lot of effort to stay here because this is not who you are. That is actually who you are. But you're striving appointment after appointment, week after week, day after day, meeting after meeting. Every interaction, you're trying to hype yourself up for an appointment, but you were never built because you were never ready for the assignment. And so really what will happen is eventually, no matter how hard you try, you'll end up going back to where you always were. So maybe today it's a good opportunity to say, Father, I just want you to reset my heart for the assignment you've given me in life. And it doesn't matter what role you have in life. There's many roles in this world. But God wants to reset your heart. It starts with the reset of alignment and then a reset of assignment. And then I promise you the appointments will come flowing. You know, I feel like some people are discouraged because you feel like you've been preparing for your assignment in private and no one has seen. Can I say to you that most people will only recognize who you are at the appointment? They saw David kill a giant and thought, wow, this guy's a warrior. They didn't see him kill a lion and a bear. His appointment didn't make him. His appointment revealed him. He was asked to play the harp for Saul, and demons left Saul. But he was worshiping in the fields for years. Most people will recognize you at the appointment, go, wow, I didn't know you were that good. Oh my gosh, you're made for this. You're incredible. But really, all the appointment does is reveal your assignment. He was always a worshiper. He was always a warrior in private, and it became revealed on the public stage. So maybe today's the day where you say, God, I've got to just reset my internals. And I want you to respond in a way. This is an appointment right now. This moment is an appointment. So why don't you stand to your feet all over this auditorium? You know, before we put on the garment of praise, let's take off the old garments. Let's take off the garments of heaviness. Let's take off the garments of incongruence, the garments of fighting. You know, I feel like there are people here today that just need to open themselves up to God. And you know the beautiful thing about God is He knows exactly what you need. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate chiropractor. You know, if your back is out of alignment, you go see a chiro, they'll click a few things and hopefully it's all back in line. Everyone here might need a little bit of adjustment or a lot of adjustment. But the beautiful thing is, if you don't run from the Holy Spirit, He will adjust you exactly. He knows exactly what adjustment you need. He knows exactly what adjustment you need. So I wonder if you would just close your eyes and just maybe even lift your hands towards heaven, just as a sign of surrender to the Lord. And ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and bring alignment into my heart again. Bring alignment into my spine again. Bring alignment into my soul again. Lord, I don't want to go naked into my appointments. I don't want to go undressed for the rooms you've called me to be in. Lord, your kingdom requires me to not only be called but chosen. See, everybody's in the room today, even online. But are you dressed for the room you're in? Are you graced for the room you're in? Are you digging wells for the season you're in? Don't live from appointment to appointment and hope it all goes well. Some of you feel, you related when I talked about the horizontal bungee, and you're feeling the exhaustion of trying to be someone you're not. Trying to live up to appointments like an athlete that doesn't live conditioned but tries to get up for game day and somehow push through the exercise and realizes it's killing you. So all I want you to do today is just allow the Holy Spirit to be a chiropractor in your soul. Not here to interview you. You're not here to interview someone else. So just lift your hands towards heaven. I mean, I know it might be tiring if you are physically unable to. Or even just put your hand on your heart, just a sign of Holy Spirit. I'm here and I want you to be my alignment. I want you to click everything into the right place. Maybe you've walked in the wrong direction in a few areas of your life. But I want to tell you that God is so good. God is so kind. God is so good. God is so kind. And He just wants to, even now, break those chains off your life. Just break those things off your, those things that have just gathered across. It's just sort of, you can feel the pain in your soul. And God says, listen, I want to remove it. 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 Let Him remove it. Let Him remove it. Let Him remove it. Holy Spirit, just have Your way right now in this room, even online. Just, some of you can even feel weights dropping off you now. You can even feel, just breathe in the presence of God now. Just breathe in. Say, just you know, the key is to yield. Yielding is such a wonderful thing. Yielding is not hard. But if you have pride, it's hard. If you have excuses, it's hard. Just yield. Say, God, I yield. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I yield to You, Lord. I surrender, God. I give it all over to You, Lord. I give it all over to You, Lord. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You would just adjust the soul of every person. You know, the adjustment is not a self-work. This adjustment this morning is just You simply saying, God, You are my God. You are my Lord. You are my King. You don't come to where I am. I come to where You are. And I align myself with You. I'm not demanding You change anything in my life. I just want to come into alignment. I want my soul in alignment. I want my spirit in alignment. I want who I am in alignment.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that He loves you very much. So much that He died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to You in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with You, and I want to be right with You. I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank You for saving me and making me Your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.